Hi, this is Mr. Deity.
And Lucifer.
And welcome to the Agnostic Salvation Hour. Most people don't know this, but the 11th commandment is, thou shalt listen.
Hey, have you seen my keys?
No,
I can't find them anywhere.
But I gotta tell you, that call is transferred from the office. It's Lucifer, as you could probably see.
So I tell you I'm not here when Lucifer calls, and you're transferring it now to my personal phone.
Right.
Because you got tricked again?
I'm just not used to that level of guile and deception.
Okay, it's not even going to voicemail. How do I take this call?
You could take this call. Just be funny. You're the deity.
Don't.
You're the deity.
Come on.
Come on. Who's?
All right, all right.
You're the deity.
Okay.
Come on.
All right, all right, all right.
Just be light and goofy. You're funny.
I'm funny. I'm a funny guy. Okay, here we go. I'm the deity.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Lucy? You got some splaining to do!
Yeah, that just gets funnier every time.
Godfrey, Daniel, you sound like hell.
Very funny.
No, actually, you do. Hold on. I got 5 bars. You know what? I think we got that bad connection again. Let me call you right back.
Oh, no. I'm not falling for that again.
I swear to Zeus I will call you back this time.
You swear?
I swear.
Fine.
Bye.
Are you really calling back?
Yeah. What's the number? I swore to Zeus.
666.
666.
66.
66.
66.
666. So it's all sixes.
Right.
I should remember that.
Yeah.
Lucy, what you wearing?
No. I have a bone to pick with you. And I better not be on speaker again.
Nope.
I cannot believe how passive-aggressive you are.
Why, what?
Don't give me
what. I'm like 5 pages into the script and already you're referring to me as a snake?
No.
Yes, you are. And what's
really annoying is the fact that you're the one who ended it, not me.
But you still have to be hostile, don't you?
You're a serpent. That's not the same thing as a snake.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I'm looking here. Chapter 3, verse 14, and it says,
upon thy belly shalt thou go.
Is there another serpent that crawls on its belly, huh?
You know what's funny?
About you, actually, is that
you're all upset about being referred to as a snake,
but the whole rest of the curse...
No, I've got a problem with the whole thing. I mean, here I am doing you a favor,
and I end up being the bad guy.
How are you doing me the favor?
You're the one who said man and woman
would not multiply unless... Actually...
I think you said do the horizontal mambo.
Unless someone went down and got them to
eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah, but you volunteered. You said you'd be more than happy to do it.
Yeah, so?
Well, if you're more than happy to do something, then how is it that you're doing me a favor?
You are unbelievable.
Oh, you know, Lucy, just put it on the table. What do you want?
You said you would consider the bunny idea.
I can't make you a bunny.
It's too cute.
People will prefer you to me.
Okay, so you guys get all the good mascots.
And I...
You know what? I cannot even believe that you said that.
You know I've tried to be even-handed with this. We don't have all the good mascots.
Jesus' followers are going to be referred to as sheep.
Bah.
Okay, do you know how stupid sheep are?
Bah.
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 Sheep are not disgusty, creepy, crawly things. They're cute.
Fine, how about a goat? That's like a sheep.
They're cute.
The thing with the horns?
Yeah, you know, they can be cute, right? I guess it's that time of the millennium.
Welcome to another episode of the Agnostic Salvation Hour, and we're doing something a little different this time. On this special episode of the show, instead of bitching about God and his worshipers like we normally do, this time we've actually invited God to be on the show for a brief interview. So without further ado, the creator of the universe, Lord and Master of all things seen and unseen, and star of his own show, Mr. Deity.
Hello, I just want to clarify, I am not the God, capital T, capital G, I am just a God, unfortunately. And yes, I am the God of this universe, but that doesn't really mean anything where I come from. So take that for what you will.
I'm a huge fan of your universe.
I am too.
Just so you know.
I like it.
There are certain parts I like. Certain parts I'm not too happy with.
The suffering, actually.
Well, where Zeus is at.
I don't mind the suffering because I don't have to deal with it much. Only complaints and that kind of thing. But I don't check my voicemail that often, so.
Suffering's good for the character.
It is, that's right. Suffering's good for the character.
That's right.
Yeah.
Any nun will tell you that.
So anyway, how, Mr. Deity, if we can call you, is there something you prefer us to call you? God, your honor, the unmoved mover?
Your Holiness.
Your Holiness.
Your Highness, whichever.
All right, Your Highness. All right. Well, first of all, I have to know. My Chiefs, I'm a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. They actually won today, which is like their first victory in a year, and I was just curious if you had anything to do with that.
I didn't. I'm not a sports guy. I'm, you know, I prefer a foreign film, you know, any day over what do you call that thing? What is it? A football match, or what is it? Match or a
game?
A game. That's what you would call it. A game. Don't really know the terminology, you know. I throw it out every now and then. I can use the, you know, I can throw a phrase in if I need to. I hit a homie or something like that. I hit one grandly over the slanting fence or something. I mean, I know that kind of thing. But other than that, I have really nothing to do with sports.
So apparently omniscience really doesn't carry over into the realm of sports.
Well, people forget, you know, just a lot of people don't know this, that I don't keep my omniscience turned on because it's just awful seeing everything that's going on. So I would prefer not to. No, you know, ignorance is bliss.
That's why tend to remain ignorant as much as possible. Well, I did have a couple of questions for you and Lucifer. The Old Testament, have you read that thing?
I have. It horrifies me in certain parts. And, you know, they say they have me doing a lot of stuff that I have nothing to do with.
Well,
you finally finished it? I didn't think you read it.
I skipped a lot. I skipped ahead. There's so much begetting. You know, if they could just do away with a lot of the beginning. And is it beginning or begetting?
Begotten.
Begotten, yeah. Mm. Only there's an only begotten somewhere, I know, but I'm not familiar with that. Anyway, some of it horrifies me. It's like a 90210 with swords and chariots and
genocide.
Genocide, yeah.
Well, because it depicts you as having some very serious wrath going on there.
Well, I am. I hear someone's iPhone. Yes. We have iPhones up. We just got iPhones up here.
That is my iPhone.
I don't know if you know that. We got our iPhones up here.
It was Zeus. We have another interview lined up with him later.
We love the App Store. Say hi to me, by the way. Tell him he owes me 50 because he never paid up for the golf. Remember, I won the golf game last time. He doesn't have his credit card with him. Afterwards at the lunch.
Of course.
You know how that goes. Oh, I forgot. Can you pick this one up? Yeah. Don't trust him. Anyway, love the App Store.
Oh, who doesn't?
We're big fans of the App Store up here.
In fact, I believe you have a couple of apps attributed to you. At least
do I really?
Your book at least has a couple.
I never think of it as my book. Because I didn't get final say. I didn't get final cut on the thing.
No residuals.
I get no residuals.
You're not getting any residuals on that thing?
They changed the ending. They threw in a bunch of stuff. You know, some of it was Larry's stupid, you know, mistakes that he had made or thought that I'd said something and when I didn't. And, you know, it's...
Oh, that was with the Jews and the homosexuals.
I don't have anything to do with that thing. I'm trying to get a book deal on my own here to work something up so that I can explain everything. But, you know, the publishing industry is brutal. So you got to have a name, some kind of name before they'll talk to you. Apparently Almighty doesn't do it anymore.
But, you know, I think we've all been wondering, those of us who are fans of your show, you and Lucifer, what went wrong there?
Oh, boy.
What went wrong? I don't know that anything's...
No, nothing's wrong.
Well, you guys have had this on again and off again relationship, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
doesn't everybody?
Yeah, it's hard. You know, it takes a lot of work. You know, sometimes she's just exhausting, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, jeez. I feel like I can't say too much because I'm here.
Yeah,
with
I
her.
Understand.
And
well, no, really, just say how you feel. Just go ahead.
I'm a happy guy.
Well, as far as I could tell, that whole apple thing, the whole fruit thing, kind of really threw you through a loop.
It did, because what happened then is, you know, I was indemnified. I just want that to be clear. Mm-hmm. When we created Adam, I indemnified myself. I had him sign a waiver. Lucy, on the other hand, didn't have good legal counsel, Right. So a lot of it falls on her.
Well,
she's taking a lot of the blame.
Yeah.
Hold on, now it's mine. One second.
It's probably that darn Zeus again.
Hello, can I call you back? I'm doing an interview. All right, bye. Okay. My gorgeous daughter. No, I have a daughter.
So what's the nature when you and Lucifer have a little spat? How do you come to terms?
It's ugly.
It is very ugly.
It's just ugly.
Yeah.
We're both fairly wrathful. You know,
yes.
She generally gets the best of me, and then I just cave. That's basically what ends up happening.
No, I'm right. I'm usually right.
Yeah, you wish. Not true.
I have to think that flood thing was a result of one of your spats.
Oh.
The thing about that was difficult was getting the dinosaurs into the ark.
Yes, it was.
Because they ended up, you know, well, there were a lot more species going in than coming out. Let me tell you that right now. It wasn't just the larger animals.
Well, I think it was a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, and very
no
smelly.
No one had his work cut out for him.
It's extremely smelly at the end.
That always seemed like a dare to me. You know, like, I bet you can't.
Well, it kind of was. It was a practical joke gone wrong. But, you know, it's good to cleanse everything out every now and then. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get that stuff in the shower, as it were, that just won't come off without the Tilex. And yeah, it's going to smell like crud there, and you don't want to breathe that stuff in, but you got to do it. That's my personal philosophy.
Well, I'm just dying to know, Lucifer, where do you live?
You know, I don't really have a locale. I kind of pop in and out.
She moves around.
So this hell.
I have a home base.
This hell concept, what about it?
Well, we did a tour. I gave a tour.
Yes, yes.
Of that, and that's kind of we're
it's
we're
a nice
happy with
it's
that.
A nice place to visit, but you don't want to live
you
there.
You don't want to live. And,
so, yeah, so I tend not to spend much time there, but I oversee it.
She spends
on.
A lot of time at my place.
Yeah, I remember the whole what's coming to adulterers thing.
Mm-hmm.
You really do not want to be an adulterer.
No, you don't. You really got to think twice.
The afterlife is not a pleasant place for those
no,
of us. No,
it is not.
So.
Mr. Diddy, do you think that humankind would be okay without you, or are we on our own and we just don't know it?
Well, you're pretty much on your own, yeah. I don't like to get involved because there's just no motivation for me to get involved because, for the most part, if things go well, I get the credit. And
absolutely.
If things don't go well, I don't get the blame. So who's going to mess with a system like that?
Well, I feel a lot better about last night then.
Cole, I don't feel better about last night.
You don't?
No.
So you're a hands-off God for the most part.
It was supposed to be a watchmaker universe from the beginning. I get involved a little bit here and there. Probably shouldn't have done anything. It's, you know, now that I've had time to think about it, I'm just stepping back. You know what I mean? Let things play out.
You know,
because people, the thing is, if I don't communicate clearly, people will take that stuff and turn it into whatever they want to turn it into, and then it turns into a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You got to say everything exactly the way it needs to be said, because they will put their own interpretation on it and run with it. Next thing you know, you got 20 million dead on your hand.
Oh.
And that's just overworked for death, because death's already overworked as it is.
Yes.
He's not happy right
He's
now.
He's not happy at all about the overtime. So...
We go to a lot of Bible studies, and here recently, most people are saying that you answer all prayers, just sometimes it's no, sometimes it's maybe, sometimes it's later. Is that the way it is?
No.
No?
Not at all. Basically, I listen to a few, and then I end up having to delete the rest, because I just don't have the time. What do people think, you know?
Well, you have a plan for us, don't you?
There's that saying, God helps those who help themselves. Well, I don't. And anyway, if you're helping yourself, what are you bugging me for?
That's
you know, just back off. I got things to do. You know, I don't need to hear what's going on in your life. If I wanted to know, I'd turn on my all-knowingness.
Is there anybody's prayers that you just can't help yourself to tune into, like, every day? You're like, oh, I got to hear this guy.
Well, Pat Robertson, I don't tune into his prayers, but what ends up happening is, we got the iPhone app where it's like quick dial. I don't know I can't remember what it's called. Mm-hmm. I got this on my phone last week. Larry and I were talking about it, And it's a thing where you put these quick dial numbers on here. Speed dial is what it's called. Speed dial 1, speed dial 2 through 4, right? Mm-hmm. And then instead of going to your phone, you just push one of these and it dials the number, speed dial, whatever it is. Well, somehow I accidentally put Pat Robertson's phone number on one of them. So I get to hear his phone calls more often than I'd like to. And he's just amusing. We like to play a practical joke on him every now and then, tell him to do this, tell him to do that, tell him I...
Well,
you're
not the one who told him to run for president, are you?
I was, but that was a joke. You know?
That's what we all figured.
I knew he had no chance of winning. Come on.
Anyone who talks like this is not going to be the president of the United States.
So, I mean, do you accidentally drunk dial Pat Robertson every once in a while?
It's not a drunk dial. It's just they don't show you who it is. What would be nice on the app is that if somehow on the icon it would say
Pat.
That's right. Yeah. And now, of course, he has your phone number.
That's the other problem, is that he'll call me now, you know, anytime because of the caller ID, which I should just have my number blocked. I don't know why I haven't done that.
You don't usually answer.
I don't answer because it comes up, you know, Pat.
Well, who does Mr. Didi call to get certain phone numbers blocked anyway?
I think there's something on the phone that you can switch, but I'm not good with the technical stuff. We got a tech guy coming in next week to try to figure that out.
Larry Kelly. Is that
Raphael?
Larry's no better than I am. He likes to think he is.
He always carries a clipboard, but that's just doodling.
Yeah, he doodles on the clipboard. Well, I mean, he makes it look like it's useful and like he's really writing stuff down. But you look at it later and he's drawn some kind of crocoduck. You know,
so that's where that came from. So,
yeah.
But anyway, I always just from watching the show, I always had this feeling that Larry really thinks that maybe he should be in your position. That somehow things got mixed up.
Good insight.
You really picked up on that. That is what's going on with him. You know, the thing is, if you want to get ahead in this job, you got to slap some backs, shake some hands, and Larry's not a schmoozer, okay? I am. I understand the way the world works with the omniverse.
So who do you schmooze for?
I schmooze my superiors. You know, I'm just a local deity in a local, you know, C-47 universe.
That's right.
This is not the be-all and end-all. I know you people down there think that, oh, look at how important we are because we got a universe for us. Well, you know what? It's like one in a billion billions. Okay, so don't think you're so wonderful. You know, you just happen to exist.
Well, who are your?
There was a backup in the life force in Sector 7. Okay, that's the truth. If you want to know.
Well, who are your superiors?
My superiors are just, you know, other beings like me who've slapped a few more backs and shaken a few more hands than I have.
So it's like the Big Bang; it just keeps on going.
Infinite regression of superiors and back slapping.
Yeah, the truth is, nobody really even knows if there's a capital G God.
Wow.
You know, not even my superiors know that. We play the same games you guys do, trying to figure it out and searching. But in the end, we're just moving on. You know, it's at a certain point, you can't figure it out. You just have to go, all right, well, so what? There's a backup in the life force of Sector 7. Get some schmuck over here to fill up the universe or something. So that's the way it happened.
The serpent, Lucy.
Yeah.
Tempting Adam and Eve. Is that what?
Not
what is
happy
that?
With the serpent.
You're not?
Mascot, no.
Oh, mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a mascot.
Yeah.
People misinterpret that as well.
I thought a bunny would have been better, but bunny.
I couldn't make her a bunny because then everyone would prefer her to me.
Absolutely.
So that's never going to happen. And she's still sore about it.
Yeah,
so.
There's just no way you can make a bunny evil.
So where's the serpent now? I mean, what is he doing?
What is he doing now? Last I saw.
I think he's doing stand-up. If I remember correctly.
Okay. Yeah.
Stand-up. He's
pulling himself out of a hat.
He's the comedian crawling around on his belly.
Yeah, well,
right.
he can get most of his body up straight, though.
Oh, okay.
He's got incredible abs. Just amazing abs. Very impressive. He was going to come out with an ab machine, in fact, but everyone had done it, and the market was oversaturated. So.
But he's happy.
He's happy.
He's done his deal.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Can't trust him, but he's a good guy.
Does he get residuals?
He does.
He does?
He does. You. depressing. I forgot. I hadn't told you that.
Must have a good agent.
Yes.
Good God.
Yeah.
Well, who, you know, who's going to have a better agent than a snake?
Yeah, that's true.
that's, he knows the people, too.
Well,
that's birds of a feather flocking together right there.
I'm guessing that Lucy's probably his agent.
Are you an agent?
I don't know.
I don't think she's an agent.
Okay.
She's not that evil. I mean, come on. She's the personification of evil. She's not the actual evil.
It's just a job. It's a job. You do what you got to do. It's a job.
That's right. All right. Well, Mr. Deity and Lucifer, we appreciate your willingness to appear on the Gnostic Salvation Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you. And what we're going to do now is go ahead and play yet another of the Mr. Deity episodes. This one, I believe, is called Mr. Deity and the Man, for your listening pleasure.
So pretty sweet setup, huh? I mean, that would be a nice bachelor pad if you were going to stay a bachelor. I hope not.
There you are. Where have you been?
We were in the garden. Why?
He's wearing clothes.
He kept bending down to pet the smaller animals. It was awkward.
I thought we were going to do the wife thing today.
I don't see a clipboard in your hand here. Let's get the paperwork.
I'm on it.
So, Adam, you understand that a wife is essential to getting my plan off the ground here. We need to get you guys multiplying and replenishing. Need you to do the horizontal mambo.
I'm not a dancer, sir, so I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm with you, whatever it is.
Great.
Okay, I'm going to need your John Hancock on the X.
Whoa.
What are you doing there, Chief? We just need a signature there, if you don't mind.
Here's the pen.
Keep it in the cage.
What's this?
It's a, what would you call it? It's
a waiver.
Standard waiver.
It's what we call...
Very standard.
Standard.
Throughout the whole industry, it's just standard.
Yeah, everybody does this. It's
just boilerplate stuff. I mean, feel free to read it over before you sign.
I can't read.
Oh, right. I'll take care of this. So it says, I, Adam, that's you, being of sound mind and judgment, do request the creation of a wife, and in so doing, acknowledge that engaging in this activity may lead to the paradisical state which was made for me being broken or caused to be broken. I fully accept and assume all such risks and responsibilities for losses, costs, and damages to me, my heirs, my assigns, and next of kin. Damages may include, but are not limited to, the following: certain death, dismemberment, disfigurement, Holocaust, torture, Down syndrome, disasters, both natural and unnatural, childhood cancer, Lou Gehrig's disease, Celine Dion.
Are you saying that my paradise can be broken?
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, yes.
Why would my wife and helpmeet, as you call her, do that?
Well.
How do you break paradise anyway?
Sin.
Sin.
Yeah, sin is basically doing anything that Mr. D doesn't want you to do.
Why would I do that? I mean, you're the deity.
Well, actually, isn't that covered in here?
Actually, yeah, sir. Let me... I got it right here. It's paragraph 13, section B. Where is it? Oh, okay. Here it is. Side effects of a wife may include, but are not limited to, the following: loss of judgment, loss of control, hair loss, insanity, temporary insanity, blind rage, blind jealousy, swelling, nausea, headaches, hypertension, dry mouth, body ache, fever, runny eyes, loose stool, erectile dysfunction, and a desire to do harm to oneself and others. Do not mix with alcohol or narcotics. If an erection persists for more than 4 hours, you must consult a physician.
All right, but we're talking about an help meet here, right? Like, she's going to help me.
Absolutely.
Absolutely,
of
yeah.
Yeah, and I have power over her, right?
Yeah, right.
Theoretically, on paper, absolutely.
100%, theoretically.
Yeah, I mean, is there really that much that I need in help meet?
Well, you do have to dress the garden and keep it.
Right, and then there's the tilling of the cursed ground by the sweat of your brow.
Sir, that's not till after the fall.
Oh, right. The fall.
In the fall, leaves...
The leaves.
...change colors, and they fall to the ground, thus the fall, and there's a lot of... Well, you have to rake,
yeah.
Right? You rake and till... I think you till.
It's beautiful, actually. I mean, there is some raking and maybe some tilling,
right.
Although I don't know... Do we know what tilling is?
They're tilling somehow, but raking, definitely, a lot of raking. It's time-consuming.
I don't know. It sounds risky.
Risky? Come on, who the man?
Oh, well, sir, he's the only man.
Oh, right.
All right, I'll do it if I have to.
No. It doesn't work that way. You have to choose this freely or the whole thing's just a train wreck.
It sounds like a disaster in the making. I mean, why would anybody risk paradise? I'm pretty self-contained here, right? I mean, I get to come and go as I please. I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I don't have to worry about leaving the seat up.
Larry, show him the photo.
Hold that, please, sir. Okay. There you go. There's the rear view.
I'm in.
All right. Okay, folks, Mr. Deedy and Lucy have left. But we're back with the two actors who play them. Brian Dalton and Amy Roran. Or how do you pronounce that last name?
That's right, Roran.
Roran.
Yeah. So,
and well, it's Brain here if you look in the notes.
Brain, did I spell Brain?
That happens a lot, but I'm okay with it.
It's what? Oh, and I mean, it's such an effort to avoid doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Even I do it.
It's one of the powers that I have over people.
You know, it could be worse.
Yes. They could spell my name to match my personality.
Well, anyway, I wanted to thank you guys for appearing on the show. Cole is the one who got me addicted to this thing. He's been talking about it for months now, and I finally watched it for the first time about a month or two ago, and I just loved it. I just thought it was hilarious. You know, the way you guys kind of sneak in theology, comedy, where it's really hard to be too offended if you're a religious person by anything you say, but
working on it, though.
But at the same time, you do have God, Yahweh, and essentially Yahweh and Lucifer in an on-again, off-again romantic relationship. So,
I mentioned earlier that we go to Bible studies, and we were at the Alpha course a couple of weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, and I mentioned to the Bible study about Mr. Deity, and they'd never heard of it. But some of them promised they would listen to it or watch it, and they did.
They've heard of it at the Omega course.
Yeah, right.
The Alphas are slow.
Yes.
No,
it's like they're like 50 IQ points lower.
That's been our experience.
The Omegas and the Zeds are right there.
One couple, when we first got together next time at dinner, they were really excited about telling me they watched your show, and she said, I really liked it. But her husband was kind of hanging his head, and I said, well, what do you think? And he says, well, I liked it too, but I felt guilty watching it.
then
I feel guilty making it, so if that helps.
But you've done your job.
I've done my job.
So, well, you know, one thing I'm just really curious about is how did the show come about? Where did this idea, this great idea come from?
The show came about, and it was after the tsunami in 2004. I wrote, you know, everyone was talking about, you know, this thing that wiped out 250,000, or I can't even remember how many. It was a lot of people who got wiped out, 250,000 people. And I just started musing about, you know, if you're an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving being, why do you need natural disasters? And I started thinking about it, and I wrote what you know as episode one, which is Mr. Deity and the Evil.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're musing about what evils they're going to be allowing, you know, because there are certain evils that are just not accessible to us. You know, I mentioned one in there where we can't think each other dead, you know, so it's at some point, you know, somebody had to draw a line and say, yeah, we're not going to allow that. But we will allow this and this and this and this if there's someone up there. And so I wrote this little musing, and it wasn't called Mr. Deity. It was just a thing between God and his faithful assistant, Larry, who I did call Larry. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to Jimbo, and Jimbo loved it. And I sent it around. A lot of people loved it. I tried to find actors to do it. And the two actors that I had in mind weren't interested, and they were kind of, you know, frightened by it and the time commitment, because I realized that, you know, let's do this as a series. And it just sat on the shelf for about a year and a half. Cool. And then Jimbo and I had a shoot in Santa Barbara one weekend, and we were driving back, and he just blurts out, you know what, we got to do Mr. Deity. You just play Mr. Deity, and I'll play Larry, and let's just shoot one and see what we can do. And I'm not an actor, so it scared the heck out of me.
Well, you do a great job.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you know, I have a question about this Larry guy. Who is he supposed to be? Is he like an archangel, or is he the Holy Spirit? Or
he's not the Holy Spirit. He is basically just my personal secretary, which is, you know, he's my oldest friend in the Omniverse. Mm-hmm. And we did used to work together. The backstory is, if you read the scripts for the actual TV show, he and Mr. Deity were counselors in another universe's past life, and they were past life counselors, or what did they call them, afterlife counselors. Mm-hmm. And you know, Mr. Deity gets the call. Larry doesn't. He's got his, you know, he's got his free will license and all of the things that Mr. Deity doesn't have. So he really should be running the show, but he's subservient and he has to call Mr. Deity sir, and you know,
just drives him crazy,
and it just eats him up. And quite frankly, he's probably a little sharper than Mr. Deity, and would have probably made a better place. But what's he gonna do?
I have this feeling that you probably cannot turn your back to that guy. Just a little hint.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
No, he does a great job on the show. That's Jimbo Marshall.
Jimbo Marshall.
Yeah. He's fantastic. Well, cool. Well, I'm not glad that there was a tsunami. I am glad that you guys did make this show, because it has been extremely entertaining for everyone I know who's watched it.
See, that's the thing. Everyone needs to remember, had it not been for the death of those 250,000 people, there would be no Mr. Deity.
So it was worth it.
You're looking on the bright side.
Yeah, look on the bright side.
What's a few deaths?
And how did you come up with the idea of, like, as I mentioned before, this on-again, off-again relationship with the deity and Lucifer?
Well, it's funny, because I was working on the episode with Lucifer in my head, and Amy had not yet joined the cast. I knew I wanted someone to play Lucifer, and I didn't know who I was going to get. But I had a line in there where Mr. Deity says to her, you know, which is actually in the episode, Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
Yes, and we actually played that at the start of the show.
Yeah, and I had said it, but he was just going to be pulling some guy's leg, you know, the whole time about it. And then I had her ex-husband actually suggested to me that Amy should. They weren't ex yet,
but apparently he was thinking about it.
Yeah, apparently he was thinking.
She'd make a darn good Lucifer.
Yeah, and if you know her, you know, you know that she, you know, hell hath no fury. So it just kind of fell naturally into that. She's an old friend of mine. She was an old friend of mine at the time. We'd known each other for like 17, 18 years, and she was in my movie, and she's been in everything I've done. And so it was just a natural thing, and she started doing them, and now she's more than a friend.
Yeah.
Aren't you right?
Yeah.
Because if I remember correctly, this is actually date night.
Oh, this is date night. Correct.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. Look what we're giving up for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, we appreciate that. I think we've lost Howard.
So before you did this show...
No, I'm here.
Oh, he's here. Okay.
I'm just very quiet.
Howard is our technical guy. He's the one who made this magic happen.
I basically look like Igor, except I smell a little bit better.
Oh, you do not. No, he doesn't look a thing like Igor. I don't know why he said that.
Maybe it's the hump on the shoulder.
Yes, yeah. Master. Yes.
But he does have the hump.
I thought it was Igor.
It's Igor.
So I'm assuming that both of you are non-religious, atheists, agnostics.
I'm an atheist, but she's a Lutheran.
We go to Lutheran churches too.
I have only been to a Lutheran church once, and what I remember most from that experience, I was actually the godfather of my nephew at the time. It was when I was still a Christian. What I remember most from that is the fact that they took attendance. I had never been to a church where they took attendance before.
I've never been either. Wow.
Did anyone ever get a tardy slip?
Apparently they do. I asked, why are you taking attendance?
They do that in Assembly of God churches too. Yes. And added to that, if you go to an Assemblies of God church, a funny aside, you'll basically get signed up for their mailer, and you will get a mailer until you die. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. They will find you and send you a mailer from that church. I'm not kidding. Because that's how they do their membership. That's how they
get
their money.
There's a deity episode in that, right there.
Yeah.
Well, I attended a Knights of Columbus meeting once, a recruitment meeting, when I was a seminarian a long time ago. And I am still getting magazines from those people today.
They're hoping.
Yeah, they're hoping... If he just reads one of these magazines, baby.
Exactly.
You know. One thing I was wondering about the show is, I know you're working off of a general idea of how the show goes, but is it how scripted is it? Because it seems like there's a lot of ad-libbing going on.
It's about, I would say, 95% yeah. scripted.
It's very
scripted.
We get in there, and then
when the guys get together and they're shooting an episode, there's a little more ad-libbing.
There's more, yeah. Sean comes up with some great stuff. He cracks me up. He has never done comedy in his life till he started working with me. He's a dramatic actor, and he has some zingers.
Yeah,
I mean, he just comes up with some of the best ad-libs. Like one of my favorites is when Michael Shermer says in one of the episodes, you know, I went to Pepperdine University, practically his alma mater. Mm-hmm. He says, "My what?" that was not me writing that in. That's him just picking up on the character and running with it. But his line when we're going over the scripts, and he's got he says, "I say, what are those red marks?" He said, "I highlighted everything in my own blood."
Right.
that was a total.
That was his.
That was a total ad lib by him, and it killed me the first time he said it. We had to cut because I was laughing so hard.
how did he get involved?
He was in my first movie, called Killing the Dream. He was such a mensch on that shoot. I just fell in love with him, and he was such a great guy. And he's been in everything I've done, too. I've never shot anything that he's not in it.
Wow.
So he's got some acting chops, too. He's just really good. Of the four of us, he's the actor's actor, which is why I have him, you know, not wanting to play himself in words, because he literally didn't want to play himself.
Yeah, that really happened.
That was an absolutely true thing where he wants to act. He doesn't want to play himself. So mm-hmm. we have him now playing himself, not playing himself.
Yeah,
he's playing himself.
He does do a great job. I mean,
he's fantastic. yeah, he killed me.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of that movie you've done, for those of us who haven't seen it, because I'm actually wanting to see it, where would I get it?
Hardly anyone has seen it. We're probably going to, at some point here, maybe when we put out the DVD for Mr. Deedy Season 3, mm-hmm. we'll put that out as well. Nobody's really seen it. I mean, it played the festival circuit all over the U.S. and in Europe and whatnot.
Won some, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I won film festivals and film festival. And directors awards, director award.
But, it counts.
Absolutely.
But no one's really seen it, so you'll be able to see it when I make it available. Is basically the answer.
Well,
the thing is, we want to reshoot it. One of the reasons we started doing Deedy is because I had rewritten it. We got a distribution deal that people at the IFP told me, you guys can just remake this and probably get a better deal. And I said, okay, let's do that. So we started looking for money, and then nobody wanted to give us money because we didn't have a name. And we thought, well, what can we do to make a name? And then we started doing Deedy. Now we have a little bit of a name, but we still can't get money. So it's not been remade. Horrible. But the remake, I think, would be one of the funniest things,
Well, I'd love to see it. Done.
Because the script is very funny.
Well, speaking of money, those little skits you do for asking for donations are great.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, we have fun doing that. My favorite one is the one I did with my...
Your daughter?
Who Popcorn was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
That was
okay.
Hilarious.
That was Lily Cat. and she did such a great job. She was hysterical.
She did. She really did.
That was hilarious. That really was.
Yeah.
And I noticed in a lot of those clips you do where you're asking for subscribers, you normally have the Atheist Worst Nightmare on you.
Yeah, I start. You know what's funny is I started doing that originally without even knowing about the Ray Comfort thing.
And then
I thought, oh my gosh, this is the funniest thing ever. Once I finally saw it, I got to put this up. So we played it up in the episode with PZ Myers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do, if I ever get Richard Dawkins on the show, which I'm talking to his people, and I talked to him at the conference in LA here about doing it, and he said, interesting. that sounds interesting. And so I said, I'm like, yeah, okay, good. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it didn't sound
like crazy. So I'm working on a script for him to do and trying to get him on.
Oh, I hope
of course, that's we got to get the banana in that one as well.
Yeah, right.
It's so funny to me how that's so universally funny to everybody. I've showed that to religious friends of mine, and
they just shake
no, I mean, everybody laughs. Oh, I mean, everybody's like, this is the most absurd thing I've ever seen.
Well, it's like something I wrote, you know? I
exactly, mean, exactly.
I have stuff where Mr. Deity's saying silly, ridiculous things. Mm-hmm. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, and he was serious. He was dead serious about it.
So. Well, almost every single person I know that sees it for the first time goes, is this real?
Right.
Yeah. Are they serious?
Yeah. Yeah. You think they're joking, and especially, exactly. You know, Kirk Cameron's so blown away by this great example, you know? I mean,
he never thought of it.
Gosh.
But speaking of the Atheist International thing, how did you wind up there?
They called me months out and said, we'd love to have you there before Bill Maher goes on and Richard Dawkins is going to be on and all of that. And they love the show. They're big fans of the show. They post it every week. I love them for getting us some attention. And they kind of – actually, the people I talked to wanted Bill Maher to see it. So maybe, you know, maybe hopefully he would do something about it. Yeah, unfortunately, he walked in a little late, so we were a little disappointed with that. Mm-hmm. We still want to get the show to him and you know, see if he has any interest in maybe
he could help you.
Being executive producer on something bigger that we do. But it was a great experience. We had probably 700 people there. We did some of the shows, a couple episodes live, and then we played a couple of them.
I'd love to see those live episodes.
Off of DVD, yeah. You know, it's fun to do. It's very exciting because anything can happen. But it's got us going. We're actually thinking of developing a Mr. Deity play.
Well, that'd be great.
I was just thinking that. It has to be a musical. It just has to be.
Well, it certainly could. It certainly could be, yeah, because we're all pretty musical. I don't know if Jimbo sings. Sean sings, and Amy and I both, you know, kind of not well, but we're both musical.
Well, if you need anyone to sing backups, I'd be volunteering for that.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Anyway,
so
I'll send you my
Larry could do the, you know, the kind of Professor Higgins kind of talking through it or something. I don't know if he doesn't sing, but he plays guitar. Not well. He plays Guitar Hero better than he plays guitar.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. I play guitar better than I play Guitar Hero, which is why I don't play Guitar Hero.
I have the same problem.
Yeah, I haven't even tried it. Well, I know from hearing things from you earlier that you are what you term a foreman.
Right.
And
Which is a former Mormon.
Yes. And were you a pretty devout Mormon at one point in your life?
I was insanely devout. I was ridiculously devout. I mean, it was frightening how devout I was. I even made my parents look like horrible sinners. I'm not kidding you. I'm the one kid who's telling his parents, you got to shape up. Get your act together.
Does that have caffeine in it, Paul?
My hand to God, I really was. I annoyed the hell out of them when I got really I got really into it when I was 17.
When did you start hating God? To my experience, I ask that all the time as an atheist and agnostic.
You know? Yeah. That's like, when did you stop beating your wife? I just kind of had a natural progression out of it because it's a religion that is based entirely on empirical claims, which the empirical claims have pretty much been looked into now, and it's a done deal.
It didn't happen.
Yeah, the Native Americans aren't Hebrews. They're North Asians. There was no great Middle Age societies here like they claim. And, you know, we have the DNA. We have the archaeology. It's an open and shut case at this point.
But it is my understanding that Jesus did make his way to the Americas.
Yeah, apparently he's really good at rowing. So he made a trip and then came back. Either that or he was on a cruise. I don't know what it is.
Well, let's talk real quick about some of the bigger guests you've had on your show, Michael Shermer and P.Z. Myers, which I think may have been your most recent episode.
Yes, those are the two of the three guests that we've had so far.
Oh, who was the other one? don't remember.
Well, the other one was just Max Andes, who played Adam.
Not just.
Oh, yes.
No, I don't want to say just, but he's not well known. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's well known in this house. He's extremely well known, but people wouldn't know him, you know, from Adam. I need a rim shot.
He did a good. My favorite part of that one was when you asked him to put his hand, John Hancock, right there, and he started to lower his pants.
That was something. That was actually an ad lib that I came up with on the spot, and I kind of came up with it like 2 hours before we were going to shoot, and I passed it around everybody here. Nobody liked it.
Oh, it was hilarious.
And then Jimbo and Max came, and I ran it by them, and Max said, "You know what? I was actually thinking of that." So we ended up doing it. So I thought it was fun.
So overall, what's been the feedback you've been getting from fans?
People love seeing other characters finally come on the show. You know, actually, that was Crackle's idea when we were going to do a third season with them. Mm-hmm. The idea was to have celebrities on playing these other roles. So I wrote 10 episodes that had other characters in them, and then they just couldn't get the people interested in doing it. So we went on to do it on our own, and I think it's a great concept because it brings new life to the show, and it also brings in people who have, you know, in their case, they already have followings. I have never gotten so much mail from both Shermer and Myers being on. I've gotten so much more mail. It's just ridiculous. Particularly PZ. People don't realize.
Oh my gosh.
He has so many. I guess there are 2.5 million people visiting his blog a month.
He's insanely popular.
And yeah. I know the guy. I read his blog. He's just the sweetest guy in the world.
Big teddy bear.
He, you know, he doesn't. His reputation doesn't precede him because everyone thinks of him as just this, you know, acerbic atheist. You know,
militant is what they militant. Use to tell us.
And he's just the sweetest, softest. You know, it's just hysterical. But I got so much mail from his appearance. It was great. We're gonna do more of that. We have John the Baptist showing up this season. We have Death.
The John the Baptist?
The John the Baptist.
Wow.
The head, though.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say. How's the whole disembodiment thing going?
You still can't find the body, and Mr. Deity isn't turning on his all-knowingness for that.
So have you thought about bringing on Zeus?
Zeus is going to show up this season, yeah.
Oh, good, good.
As is, who else? Well, we have...
Could you have any poker buddies,
Lucy,
like Horace?
Yeah, Lucy and Mr. Deity's therapist coming on.
Therapist.
Hopefully we're going to have Kevin Nealon on the show.
That'd be great. I love him on Weeds.
As Jesus's
Savior
class instructor. There's a lot of good stuff. We have Eve coming on. We're going to get to see Eve finally.
I understand she's really attractive.
She is gorgeous.
From behind Jake Miller, if I
remember.
Yeah. Got us into a lot of trouble, but...
yes, she did. Darn her.
What are you going to do?
What about Lilith?
Lilith?
Yes.
No.
That's the other story.
We don't have anything for her yet.
Oh.
No.
All right. Well, for those of our listeners who don't know how to subscribe to your show or check it out, what would they do? Where'd they go?
Just go to MrDeity.com, MrDeity.com, and click on the, a donate button? Or it's a, what do I have on there? I don't even know what I have on. Hold on. This is so much for my...
it says donate. Yeah, there is a donate button.
Okay, that's what it is. That'll take you to the Deity page, or a donate page, and then you can decide whether you want to subscribe... Which you can subscriptions, meaning, you know, it automatically comes out of your account every week or every month, however you choose to sign up. Mm. Or you can just make a one-time donation. The subscriptions really help because obviously then we get a sense of, you know, budgeting and what we can do.
Yeah.
We're looking to do something possibly if we can afford it and if we can manage the logistics. We want to do something really big with season 4, which is Mr. Deity in Hell, or L.A., which is close enough.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Deity would actually come down and maybe be try to live as one of us for the whole season, which I think could be a lot of fun. So if we get the kind of money where we can do that, that's something we can do. Or we'll stick to the format that we have
I'm gonna predict that Mr. Deedy will not enjoy his time on Earth.
I don't think he will at all.
But I'd love to see him try it.
Yeah,
it'd be funny. Well, and merchandise. I know one thing, and we know it exists because I just heard it when you got called. I want the Mr. Deedy song as my ring.
Yeah.
How can I do that?
It's somewhere on my site. It's buried now somewhere because I don't have the original links up. If people email me, I'll send it to them at MrDeedy@MrDeedy.com. That might get a bit much. If I get too many emails, I'll personally post a link somewhere on the page, or I'll send out put up a link where people can get it.
And of course, people could donate, you know, before they asked you for the ring.
Yeah, you should donate before you ask. give me something.
Exactly.
And the other thing we have is just we have a shop at Cafe Press that you can go and order, you know, T-shirts or hats or mugs,
okay.
And stuff like that. It's swag. Yeah, it's under the swag banner on MrDeedy.com.
And there's some mention of a soundtrack, which I really want. I mean, I'm buying that when it becomes available.
I'm working on it. We have episodes which are going to have other little pieces of music coming up that we've been working on, and I have probably four or five songs that we've used in the show for some reason or whatnot, and some of them are from words as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be putting that together, and people can right now can go to the music page and then send me an email telling me, you know, put me on the list, and I'll let them know when the CD becomes available, or actually it'll probably just become available as a download.
Okay. Well, speaking of words, you just mentioned it. Why don't you tell us about words?
Words is something we started doing kind of we were in this limbo spot with Crackle, not knowing if we were going to do another season with them or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to do something, and I wanted to do something more reality-based so that people could see that we have some, you know, breadth. It's not just this religious humor. And so I thought finally, you know what would be fun is just to do a show that's a show, it's behind the scenes of the show, not only Mr. Deedy, but behind the scenes of the show itself. So it's kind of a weird, it's hard to explain. It's a behind the scenes of the show itself. So you, mm-hmm. you kind of get stuff that's like twice removed from reality, particularly once we start doing stuff where we actually tie Deedy in, which we're coming up on right now. We're just getting back to reshooting that. We got distracted because we had so much stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
That we just couldn't keep up. You know, this thing doesn't pay the bills yet. So if you know, once again, subscribe, and we can keep that more consistent. But it's fun because all the episodes are generally taken from something real that's happened in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be, as we wind this thing up, be playing episode 2 of Words here at the end of the show, an episode titled Okay. Can you give us some backstory on that?
Okay is, again, based on a real incident. To give you just a little trivia, that was going to be episode 1 of Mr. Deedy,
mm-hmm.
but when we of Words, I'm sorry. But when we shot it, I love dark humor. I really love dark humor. We shot it. I loved it because I thought, oh man, this is just so dark.
Yeah.
We had people view it, and it didn't play to everybody because it's so dark. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know what, we got to do something a little lighter before we introduce that. So we actually shot episode 1. With what now is episode 2 in the can. But the incident came because I was having a conversation with somebody on the phone who told me, and I can't tell you who, who told me, he said, hey, you know, John called me and told me that we had this mutual friend who'd killed himself. And I was kind of like, yeah, all right. I did, because he said I didn't really care about him, you know. I never really liked the guy, and he was broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this John guy who called him was broken about the whole incident. But he, you know, the whole time he was trying to having to feign interest.
Yeah,
you know, and, And you know, oh, that's so bad. Well, and I thought, well, you know what would be funny is if you just didn't feign the interest or the heartfelt sorrow. And I said, you know, my character is basically just me on the show, but kind of less sensitive and, right?
Yeah.
Amy's laughing at me now. I'm not that guy. I'm really not.
Well, my favorite part of that episode was where it turned out you had actually recommended to him which variety of firearm to use.
Right. Well, what you find out in a later episode, I don't know if this is, you know, spoiler alert, but what you find out in a later episode is not only that, but it's actually my gun.
Oh, you would love it.
So it gets even worse, and I want the gun back. You know?
So who has it?
That is funny. Well, all right. Well, we're gonna finish this off with that episode, but I do want to encourage everyone listening to this.
We send it out to our groups quite often.
Yes.
Oh, good. Great.
Fantastic. And you know, I still tell some people about it, and they haven't heard about it, but we want to get the word out because your show is great, and I want to see more of it. And I want it to work out for you.
Oh, I love your show. I love all the characters.
Oh,
great.
I love words, too. And anything else that you are planning on doing, I think you and your whole crew do an excellent job of just...
Well, thank you. We have 11 more episodes left to do in this season, at least 11 more episodes. And only like 4 or 5 of them are mediocre. So I just encourage everyone to keep paying attention for the really, really good ones.
You never know when one of the good ones is.
You never know. Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you see one that you don't care for, wait till next week. It might be a good one.
All right. Well, I've liked them
all. Try to spread the bad ones out. Yeah.
All right. Well, Brian and Amy, I really appreciate you spending your date night here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
I caught hell for this, by the way.
Well, you know, Lucy.
Yeah.
It's all right. Well, thanks. And we're going to, and for everyone listening, I'd like to thank you again for listening to the Gnostic Salvation Hour. And we're going to end this show with Words Episode 2. Okay.
Okay.
Brian, telephone. It's Jimbo.
Hey.
Hey.
Did you get my message about that edit?
Yeah.
I have to talk to you about something.
About the edit?
No.
I don't really know how to say this.
Are you...
sitting down.
Am I sitting down?
Dude, you're scaring the crap out of me. This is a joke.
No,
it's not a joke, man. I've just got some bad news.
Are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down. Can you stop saying that and just say what you're going to say? You're freaking me out.
I'm sorry. You know Tim?
Mm-hmm.
He killed himself.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Tim killed himself.
Right, and?
And that's it.
That's it? That's the bad news?
How is that not the bad news?
Well, you call me and you tell me you got really bad news. I'm thinking you broke my camera or Brindy's been in an accident.
So wait a minute. Breaking your camera is worse than
Tim dying?
Well, you were so dramatic.
Because Tim killed himself.
All right, what are you getting so upset about?
I'm upset, Brian, because Tim killed
himself.
Yeah, I get it. Tim killed himself. Okay.
You better stop saying okay.
What am I supposed to say?
I don't know, okay? I want you to be upset.
Or something.
Okay.
If you say okay one more time, so help me God.
Okay, I'm sorry, because I guess I just didn't realize how close you two were.
Dude, we're all close. We all play poker every Friday night for the last 13 years.
Yeah, and he sucks. Or I should say he sucked.
And come on, I mean, really, you didn't see this coming?
You saw this coming.
Like a Mack truck.
What are you, a deer in the headlights?
He was a tragedy waiting to happen.
He made every wrong turn, every wrong decision you could make, okay?
So
you saw him killing himself, and you said nothing.
What am I supposed to say? What was I supposed to do?
I don't know. You could have talked to him. Maybe try to cheer him up a bit.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to just talk to him about, hey, you're going to commit suicide?
Okay. You could have talked to one of us. How's that?
I'm going to tell you, that would be rude. I'm not going to talk to one of you guys.
Rude? This would be rude about a buddy killing himself? Rude?
Yeah, because it was a confidence between him and me.
You just said you thought everybody knew this.
I did, but what if they didn't? You know, I mean, I can't just, when you're sensitive to
other people and what they're going through.
Sensitive? You are unbelievable.
You cannot hide it.
Okay, you know what? Why can't you just see it as Tim making a good decision for Tim?
Because, Brian, good decisions generally don't end up with brain matter on the ceiling.
So he did end up going with the gun? Was it a shotgun or just a...
What do you mean, end up?
He said something to me on Friday about, he asked me what, if I were going to do it, what... would I do? And I said a gun.
Because
you've got to be kidding me.
Are you?
Well,
it's got to be a joke, right?
Look, I told him a gun, but I warned him. I said you got to be very careful to use a large caliber weapon because a small caliber, like something like a .22, I don't think it'd do it.
You told him what kind of gun to use?
No,
it was small talk. You know, we were witty banter back and forth between.
Brian, there's nothing small talk or witty about killing yourself and what kind of weapon you would use.
You know what? I'm not going to sit here and be your whipping boy. I understand that you're upset.
Your friend killed himself. Now you're looking to blame someone.
Oh,
and here I
man.
Am, Mr. Scapegoat.
Okay? But sometimes you just have to understand that people make decisions about their lives that we're not going to like.
Okay? Sometimes people...
they know when it's time to say goodnight. Adios, amigos. Elvis has left the building. All right? And he went with the Kenny Rogers... You know, Kenny Rogers said... you gotta know when to hold him, you gotta know when to fold him. He knew what... Hello? Okay. His family. Who holds a viewing for a guy who's blown his head off?
Was it awful? Did he look bad?
You know what? That's the funny part. I've never seen him look better. He should have done this 10 years ago.